This is Alive with Joseph.
Give the Lord your highest praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Amen and amen. While we are standing, let me read, you know, our scripture for tonight. Let me read it while we are all standing. And it says, Exodus chapter 7 from verse 14 to 16. That's our foundational scripture when we opened it up last week. And I'll read it again, you know, so that we can refresh our memory. I read, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thy hand, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Amen. Reach out to three people tonight. Announce to them, it is time for you to stretch out. It is time for you to stretch out. It is time for you to stretch out. Tell them, it is time for you to stretch out. Now you go ahead and give Jesus your highest praise tonight. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to pick it up from where we left it off last week so that we can finish off tonight. Amen. One of the things I know is in a season of quantum leap, you are being stretched. I said that last week. And I also remember sharing with us a quote that says that growth and comfort cannot coexist. That is to say, if you want to experience a quantum leap, if you want to experience radical development and growth, then you must be willing to go through some radical discomfort, because growth and comfort can never coexist. That is, the seasons that you experience the most discomfort are often the seasons you experience the most development. So God often will orchestrate and allow the seasons of discomfort so that he can be able to initiate a quantum leap in our life. So if you do not understand the stretching, you will begin to mislabel and mismanage the season that God has designed for you to experience a quantum leap. You will begin to call such a season is a season of stress, a season of suffering, a season of hardship, when it is actually a season of spiritual stretching so that you can be able to experience some level of growth and development. So, and when you and I are able to submit to the stretchings of God, he exposes us to a version of himself, and at the same time, he is able to introduce you and I to a version of ourselves that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it been deposited in the heart of any man what he has already ordained for us. So you and I must begin to allow God stretch us. We must allow him stretch us until we are stronger. We must allow him stretch us until we are wiser. We must allow him stretch us until we are better. We must allow the Almighty God stretch us until we are more resilient. We must allow him stretch us until we are more powerful. Allow him to stretch you until you are more anointed, you are more disciplined. Allow him to stretch you until you are more discerning and until you are more prayerful. Allow him to stretch you until you are more spiritual, because when you allow him stretch you, you become a better version of yourself. And I pray for you today, as you subscribe to the stretching of the Almighty God, I decree and I declare, a better version of you shall emerge in the name of Jesus. I say, a better version of you shall emerge in the name of Jesus. So you must allow your Almighty God stretch you until you become a version of yourself that the adversary cannot be able to handle or withstand. Until you become a version of yourself that you yourself will not be able to recognize again. So you and I must understand, to experience a quantum leap, then that quantum leap that you and I are to experience is on on the other side of the stretching. Your next level is on the other side of this, on the other side of the stretching. And often we resist the stretching, and yet you must understand that the victory, the development, the growth, the expansion you're looking for is on the other side of the stretching. I pray for you again. May you not resist the stretching of God in the name of Jesus. I say, may you not resist the stretching of God in the name of Jesus. I declare over you, God will not only stretch you as he stretches you, may you manifest the greater glory he has put on the inside of you in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead and celebrate Jesus tonight. So we continue building, and we stopped at where we saw the children of Israel. We began to look at when God said to them, come out so that you can worship me in the wilderness. And we discovered that the reason why God was asking them to come out so that they can worship him in the wilderness is because their faith has been diluted. That is to say, the reason why God was doing that is they were diluting the purity of their faith. They were having an inferior spiritual experience. Now, hear this. Just because they were more spiritual than the people of Egypt or the people in Egypt, they thought they were better. What they didn't know was that they were still dealing with a spiritual deficit. And I remember saying to us that often you look at the unbelievers around you and you think you're better. And God is saying the unbeliever around you is not the yardstick, is not the measuring line for your destiny. So they were in Egypt, they were worshiping God, but they didn't know that their faith was already diluted. Now, the danger of comparison is when you begin to compare yourself. You know, one thing you must understand is when you compare yourself with someone else, you will always look for the lowest or the least denominator to compare yourself with. And the danger of comparison is when you compare yourself with someone, then you will discover that you're actually comparing yourself below the potential that heaven has deposited in you. Hear this, friends. God has never called us to compare ourselves to other people. The scripture says concerning comparison, 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. So God wants you to compare yourself to your potential. He wants you to compare yourself to your potential. And if you're comparing yourself to other people, you can give yourself a grade that is higher than your real performance. Why? Because it doesn't take much to be better than Egypt. It doesn't take much to be better than Egypt. Hallelujah. And we saw how God told them to, you know, leave Egypt. And when they got into the wilderness, they, you know, for you to see that they left Egypt, but they left as well with the practices of Egypt. So when they got into, when Moses went to the mountain to receive the commandment, the instructions, they felt that Moses was taking too long. They now built a golden calf. Exodus chapter 32, you can find that from verse 1 to 6. They now built a golden calf. And we stopped at asking ourselves, how did they know how to build a golden calf? They learned that in Egypt. The golden calf they built was actually one of the gods of Egypt. The calf was a symbol of the Egyptian gods, most notably the Apis bull, which represented the god Peter and was considered a sacred animal. So for you to see, when God asked them to leave Egypt, he knew what he was doing. And for you to see that they had already diluted the purity of their faith, when Moses delayed, they built, you know, the Peter bull. They built that bull because deep in their hearts, even though some of them were not worshiping the gods of Egypt openly, deep in their hearts, they were already worshiping the god of Egypt. They were already worshiping the god of Egypt. So the calf, understand that, you know, when they built the calf and God had to destroy the calf, it wasn't because God was intimidated with the calf. God had to destroy the calf because the calf didn't negatively affect God. It affected them. Why? The calf will make promises to them it cannot deliver. The calf cannot heal them. The calf cannot set them free. The calf cannot fight their battles when they are confronted by their enemies. promises. The calf cannot, wipe away their tears. The calf cannot deliver them from habits, addictions, and bondages. So God had to deal with the calf to show to them that it has been Him who has been on their side. That if God was not on their side, their enemies would have swallowed them up quickly. And we began to look at what are the calves you and I have been building. What are the calves that you have been building in your life? What are the calves? Because every one of us, in one way or another, we keep building calves. They went back to the calf. Why? Because the calf gives them consolation and not transformation. They went back to the calf because the calf gives them consolation and not transformation. And the reason they went back to the calf is because the only thing they have used religion for was consolation. They have now erroneously assumed that that was all that they could use spirituality for. They have erroneously assumed that the only thing they can use spirituality for is for consolation and not transformation. Hear this, friends. All they have ever used religion for was to get a relief in the midst of the life they hated. That's what they have used religion for. To get a relief in the midst of the life that they hated. That was all they used religion. Instead of getting a revelation to create the kind of life that God wants them to have, instead they were using religion to get a relief from the life they hated. Have you been using religion to get a relief from the life you hated? Instead of you, by revelation, creating the life the Almighty God has called you to live out. And I pray for you that with God has called you to live out, you will live it out in the name of Jesus. I say you will live it out in the name of Jesus. So let's build some more. This kind of religion expression, it uses church as a 90-minute therapy session. It is religion that, gets consolation and inspiration instead of transformation. So you see a believer or you see a Christian who've been born again for so many years, yet you can't seem to trace any form of transformation. Why? Because it is using religion for consolation instead of transformation. And that is all that the golden calf can do. The golden calf gives you consolation. It never gives transformation. The golden calf never gives transformation because the golden calf doesn't have the power to transform. The golden calf has no power to transform. What does the calf represent? The calf represents Egypt. So they were saved but have not been taught. They were saved but have not been taught. Why? Because when they built the golden calf, the image of the calf, it was when Moses went to get the commandment. If you remember, God invited him to come and receive instruction. Now, they were a brand new nation. They had no instruction. So, actually, God invited Moses to come and receive the constitution of the land so that they can be properly governed. So, when Moses went to receive the commandment, they were not taught. So because they were not taught, they didn't know that they should not be worshiping any other thing beside the Almighty God. Hear this, friends. Where God is taking you to, which is the quantum leap level, it will require you to change in the way that you have been doing church. You cannot experience a quantum leap and continue to do church as usual and continue to do church as a religious activity you must tick off in your day-to-day life. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise tonight. Can you handle where I'm going? Can you handle it? I know you can. Well, if you can't, you're already implicated. You're here, so you might as well just enjoy it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, something happened yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah. No, Monday. I decided to run certain kilometers. And I hit the road. After some while, I felt okay. I need to go back home. I just said to myself, but you're already here. Just walk the rest. Don't embarrass yourself. Just walk the rest and go home. Amen. So, why am I saying that? You're already here. So, you might as well just enjoy it. Amen. Not your neighbor. Tell them, please enjoy the service. You're already here. Hallelujah. And you that is online, you're also already here, so be part of the service. Now, I believe that the reason why God brought them out was because you know, God needed to stretch them spiritually. A place where, you know, they are not comfortable, and bringing them to a place where they develop. Now, the reason why God brought them out so that they can be stretched. Hear this, friends. Where God is taking you, it will require you change the way you have been doing church. And I believe that's why God had to, you know, bring them out. And also that is why God has brought you here as well. God brought you here so that he can change the way you've been doing church. A place where you are stretched spiritually. A place where you are comfortable, and at the same time, we make you uncomfortable. A place where, you know, we take you, we help you walk the journey. We walk the journey with you. But at the same time, we refuse to allow you stay the way you are. So I believe God brought you here so that you can begin to do church differently. You can do church differently. That is why God had to bring you to an environment like this, because of the destiny you carry. He wants you to do church differently. So God is pulling many of us out of calves, pulling us out of calves, not literally, but metaphorically, bringing us out of calves, so that whatever the calf is holding, or the hold the calf has on us, God is pulling us out of it. And there are several calves God is going to pull us out of, and I'm going to give you a few of them tonight, and we pray and go home. Number one calf that God is going to pull us out, or pulling some of us out, is the calf of crisis Christianity. It is when your commitment is crisis contingent. When your commitment to God is crisis contingent. This is when you see people committed because they are in crisis. They come to morning prayers in the building because they are in trouble. Then after they say, "Pastor, please lay hands on me. The thing is doing me." Crisis Christianity. And that's one of the calf God wants to deliver us from. Because you cannot experience a quantum leap if you keep living your life as a crisis Christian. So they are praying because they are in crisis. They join morning prayers because they need a quick intervention. They are about to be fired. They're about to have a hearing. And they know, somehow Pastor Joseph will release a prophetic word that I can hold on to. So they join the prayers. Crisis Christianity. Not your neighbor, but ask them, "Are you a crisis Christian?" This is when things have to go really bad for such a person to get serious with God. Now understand, I don't dislike this type of Christianity, because most of us came to Christ because of crisis. And he's the God who knows how to meet you in the place of your crisis. He met the woman of the issue of blood in the place of her crisis. He met the Syrophoenician woman in the place of her crisis. He met the blind Bartimaeus in the place of his crisis. So he is the God who knows how to meet us in the place of our crisis. And I pray for you, if you are in any crisis, the God of heaven will meet you there in the name of Jesus. He will not just meet you there, he will deliver you in the name of Jesus. But hear this, friends, it shouldn't take crisis to keep you committed to God. It shouldn't take crisis to keep you committed to God. Crisis Christianity means you have learned to trust God, but it also means God can trust you. Crisis Christianity, God can't trust you. You have learned to trust, but God can't trust you. There's no way he can trust you. Are you understanding me tonight? So God is like saying, "You want me to give you a quantum leap, but I can't trust your behavior after you receive the quantum leap. I can't trust how you will behave. I can't trust how you will behave when things start going well for you." And I have learned, you know, God is like saying, "I have learned I can only trust your behavior when you are in crisis. But I can't trust your behavior when you are outside of crisis." Give Jesus praise tonight. So there are people who are only committed when they are in crisis. But you don't have to be in crisis to remain committed to God. Listen, friends, God is looking for believers who will be just as committed to him as they are when they are in crisis. That is, they has committed to God when the windows of heaven is opened over their life, and the same way they are committed to God even when they go through battles. That they are as committed to God when things are working well for them. The money is flowing in the millions. They are as committed. Nothing changes. Their commitment doesn't change. They make it clear. There are certain meetings I can't have during service time. How many of you know the Muslims? How many of you know all of these Muslim shops in our city? Fridays is their prayer day. They shut it down. Or you go there during prayer time. They have scheduled the lunch time of their staffs into their prayer times. You go there, no matter how many millions you're bringing, they make it clear. We are in prayer times. But believer, not so for the believer. The believer will actually accurate everything, church. Huh? Don't they think we have a life? Okay, keep having a life. Praise God for your life. That's why I asked Elion, can you handle this? But again, you're already here, so just enjoy it. So God wants you to be committed to Him when He is doing for you what eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, what has not been conceived in the heart of man. He wants you to be committed to Him the same way you are committed to Him even when you are in Christ. Number two, calf God wants to bring us out of is the calf of consumer Christianity. This is when people incorrectly assume that their spiritual satisfaction comes only from them, from their consumption and not from their contribution. This is when people, they assume that they are called to be consumers and not to be contributors. These are the sets of believers who are only in God for what they can get from God without any form of communal responsibility. And the truth is, you will never get spiritually fulfilled just by you receiving. The kingdom of God works like this. You don't go up by going up in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you have to go down to go up. In the world, in Babylon, you go up to go up. That is why people cut corners, people lie, people cheat, people, they are corrupt, they are involved in all kinds of wickedness, because in the world, you go up to go up. But in the kingdom, you go down so that you can go up. And the scripture says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due season. 1 Peter 5:6. Interestingly, the same word returned back in the book of James chapter 4 verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. The same word that tells you how serious it is. In the kingdom of God, you don't get to get. In the kingdom of God, you give to get. Hear this, friends. You will never be spiritually satisfied just by consuming. Do you know that God has, God has kind of taken your fulfillment and have hidden it in your contribution. He has taken your fulfillment, hidden it in your contribution. Money can't buy fulfillment. Money can't buy fulfillment. I repeat, money can't buy fulfillment. That is why if you buy a brand new car today, you are excited. After 2 days, you're no longer excited. That is the truth. You're no longer excited as you used to. Why? Because fulfillment doesn't come from things. God has taken your fulfillment, hidden it in your contribution. May God give you understanding. It is only when you start contributing, utilizing that which God has placed on your inside, that you will actually begin to experience fulfillment that you are looking for. Many believers, they are treating God like a vendor of a religious service. They are treating God like a vending machine. And at the end, they rob themselves of the highest form of compensation, which is fulfillment. Listen, friends, the highest form of compensation is fulfillment. And the reason God wants you to understand contribution is because contribution delivers you from being a person of exploitation. Contribution delivers you from being a person of exploitation. Because if all you do in your relationship with God is consume and not contribute, then you will do the same in your relationship with other people. If all you do is consume, consume, consume. Before you know it, the same thing applies to other people. Everybody will buy you birthday gifts. When it's your own birthday, you won't buy anything. Because you are the minister of consuming. You are the consumer expert. You run the ministry of consumption. Everybody will buy you something during Christmas. When is your, you won't buy anything because for you, give me, because my name is Jimmy. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. I say, give God your praise tonight. So if all you do in your relationship with God is consume, you're not contributing your time, your talent, your treasure, you will do the same in your relationship with other people. You will do the same. Number three, the calf that God must rescue us from. The calf of carnal Christianity. This is a version of faith or Christian work that accepts Jesus as Lord cognitively, but refuses to submit to his ways practically. It is what one preacher called it vampire Christianity or vampire believers. It is a version of faith that wants the forgiveness that the blood of Jesus has given, but they tell Jesus, don't tell me what to do with my life. This type of believers, they want Jesus to be their savior but not their shepherd. And this type of Christianity will rob you of the benefit of shepherd leadership. I said that, I think, when I was doing the Sunday teachings. The shepherd leadership of Christ. Because if you let Jesus be your shepherd, one of the things that happen is you will not want. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you let Jesus be your shepherd, he will lead you to green pastures. If you let Jesus be your shepherd, he will lead you beside still waters. If you let him be your shepherd, he will restore your soul. If you let Jesus be your shepherd, you can say, safely say, boldly say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. So we have the carnal Christianity, the calf of the carnal Christianity. They want Jesus, the blood of Jesus, to forgive their sin, but they don't want the leadership of Jesus Christ. They don't want the leadership of Jesus Christ. Number four calf is the calf of zeal without knowledge Christianity. This is the version of faith that is characterized by a zeal that is absent of knowledge. This is the kind of Christians who are saying, I can use my heart to worship God, but not my mind. Mark chapter 12 verse 30, put on the screen. The scripture says, and thou shalt love. Let's read it. Can we read it, friends? Please, let's read together if you don't mind. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Did you see that? With all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. All of your mind. You love the Lord with all of your mind. Now, this version of Christianity, the one I'm talking about, the calf of zeal without knowledge Christianity, this version of Christianity is the version where people leave their brain in the car when they go to church. It is a diet filled with religious sugar, filled with religious rhetorics that have no form of theological grounding and often looks weird and void of biblical logic. This brand of Christianity, and that's what you are seeing, particularly in this part of the world. Because, you know, things like when someone, you know, it will take someone who left their brain behind for someone to give you petroleum product to drink and you drink it. You might have left your brain behind. It will take someone who left their brain behind for someone to use insecticides as a tool of healing for you. And you allow it. It will only take someone who left their brain behind. Because why? There is no biblical logic. There's no theological ground to it. We can't find it in scriptures. Zeal without knowledge. It will take someone who have left their brain behind, you know, to be throwing salt on top of their roof, expecting that devils will not come in because there is salt on top of their roof. It will take someone who have left their brain behind. It will take someone who have left their brain behind, you know, to be putting stickers in their refrigerator. Or put stickers in their underwear. I'm telling you what happens. The brand of Christianity, we have seen where people are no longer worshiping the Lord, you know, with their mind. A believer, that's what Reverend Samuel is trying to say in that scripture. A believer cannot, you know, sit down and compare scriptures, and put the Bible down and weigh it. Is it in the Bible? What is the scripture saying? Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Now you have to really be brainwashed to believe all of that, honestly speaking, and I'm serious. For you to believe such things, you really have to be very, very heavily brainwashed. I saw something the other day on the social media. This pastor went and brought it, he's in the US. Brought a snake. I was, hey, and the serpent will not bite him. And the serpent located him and collected him. Pow. And after a while, the next thing, the man, hasta la vista. Serpent is there on social media. I saw it. I laughed. I said, may this happen often so people can learn lesson. So it just happened. The serpent, the serpent said, oh boy, you play dangerous play. The thing collected him. Pa! He kept, Then I said, gone too soon. It takes a man who have left his brain behind. Number one, you want to play around with a serpent. You're playing around with a venomous serpent. My friend, if I see a serpent, I take off. My theology have not developed to that level. I just take off immediately. Snakes know I hate them. They also hate me, so. That's the brand of Christianity. And most of all, need to be delivered from that. Number five, the calf. Number five, the calf of having a form of godliness, no power Christianity. This is a version of Christianity where people are so obsessed with information and principles, they reject the importance of presence. It is a version of Christianity that has a form of godliness but denies power. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:5, turn away. It fails to recognize, the such brand of Christianity fails to recognize the limitations of knowledge and principles. Knowledge are only a part of this dispensation. When Jesus returns, when he returns all things back to his original intent, there will only be presence, not knowledge. When you look at the Garden of Eden, before man fell, man didn't need school, man didn't need education, man didn't need all of those, because why? It was not necessary. All of this knowledge and principles that God has had to introduce to man is so that to help man to help the fallen man navigate the earth. That was how when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't build a school for them. There was presence in the Garden of Eden, not knowledge or principle. Now, we don't need principles in heaven. We need principles here on the earth. Principles won't break a yoke of compulsive behavior. Principles won't cast out devils. There are devils, it's not principles that will cast them out. Only the presence of God will drive it out. So you look at a church like a life church, you know, you will struggle to describe it because, you know, here we flow with principles, knowledge, and at the same time, we believe in the manifest presence of God. We believe in it. I also believe in principles. We believe in knowledge, but we believe as well in the manifest presence of God, because I believe God is stretching us to experience a quantum leap. And for us to experience a quantum leap, there are things he wants you and I to be free from. So in this season of a quantum leap, God wants us to be free from the calf of having a form of godliness, no power Christianity, to be free from the calf of zeal without knowledge Christianity. People who are full of zeal, no knowledge, you know, believers who don't open the scriptures to search the scriptures. Number three, God wants us to be delivered from the calf of carnal Christianity. Number two, God wants us to be delivered from the calf of consumer Christianity. And number one, God wants us to be delivered from the calf of crisis Christianity. He wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch you and I, so that we become a version of who he has called us to be. And I pray for you in this season. May you become the version God has ordained for you to be in the name of Jesus. I declare over you in this season, the Lord will stretch you into your next level in the name of Jesus. He stretches you into your next testimony in the name of Jesus. The Lord stretches you into glory in the name of Jesus. The Lord stretches you into testimony, into quantum leap in the name of Jesus. Nothing will limit you any further in the name of Jesus. You are out of crisis Christianity in the name of Jesus. You are out of consumer Christianity in the name of Jesus. You are out of the Christianity that have a form of godliness but denies the power thereof in the name of Jesus. You are out of, you know, the carnal Christianity in the name of Jesus. You will not only believe that the blood of Jesus saved you, you will also submit to the shepherd leadership of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. You will hear him direct you in the name of Jesus. You will hear him lead you in the name of Jesus. For the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He leads you. He leads you. I pray for you. Any other thing that has been leading you, you are set free from it in the name of Jesus. I say whatever has been leading you that is not the shepherd of God, I declare you are delivered in the name of Jesus. Heaven will lead you in the name of Jesus. Satan will not lead you in the name of Jesus. Your friends will not lead you in the name of Jesus. Only Jesus will lead you in the name of Jesus. Give me two powerful amen. Two. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So they were not taught. And because they were not taught, when Moses delayed, they returned back. Because their faith, the purity of their faith, has already been diluted. And there are many believers right now as I'm speaking, whose purity of their faith has been diluted. Hallelujah. Lift your voice. Begin to bless the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.